Let's read together Genesis 43, verses 1 through 14. In this first half of Genesis 43, we have Jacob's decision to send the brothers down to Egypt a second time. Genesis 43, beginning at verse 1. Now the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass, when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought from Egypt, that their father said to them, "Go back, buy us a little food." But Judah spoke to him, saying, "The man solemnly warned us, saying, 'You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you.' If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, 'You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you.'" And Israel said, "Why did you deal so wrongfully with me as to tell the man whether you still had another brother?" But they said, "The man asked us pointedly about ourselves and our kindred, saying, 'Is your father still alive? Have you another brother?' And we told him according to these words. Could we possibly have known that he would say, 'Bring your brother down?'" Then Judah said to Israel, his father, "Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you and also our little ones. I myself will be surety for him. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. For if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have returned this second time." And their father Israel said to them, "If it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and carry down a present for the man, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double money in your hand and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight. Take your brother also and arise, go back to the man. And may God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release your other brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved." Let's look at a few background notes. When the brothers came down to Egypt the first time, they probably thought that the famine would be over shortly and that the grain that they took home would tide them over until the rains returned. But little did they know that the famine would last for 7 years. And Genesis chapter 45 and verse 6 indicates that they were only in the second year of the famine at this point. So here in chapter 43, Jacob told the brothers to go back down to Egypt to buy a little more food, still thinking and hoping that the famine would soon be over. But Judah, who is now the spokesman for the brothers, said, "No way." Look again at verses 3 through 5. But Judah spoke to Jacob, saying, "The man solemnly warned us, saying, 'You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you.'" Notice that Joseph is referred to here as the man. Now, we've already seen a number of parallels between Joseph and the Lord Jesus, and I think we have another one here. Do you remember Pilate's statement in reference to Christ in John 19:5? "Behold the man." Just as the brothers did not recognize who Joseph was, so the Jewish people did not recognize the Lord Jesus for who he was. To them, he was only the man. But just as the man Joseph controlled the destiny of the brothers, whether they knew it or not, whether they liked it or not, so the man Jesus of Nazareth controlled the destiny of those who did not recognize him as their Messiah. Just as the brothers had to come to the man Joseph on his terms in order to get bread and live, so people today must come to the man Jesus Christ to receive the bread of life and live. And it cannot be on our terms. There is only one way, whether you like it or not. 1 Timothy 2:5, "Between God and man, there is one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. We must come on his terms, not ours." Now, that was more like a doctrinal point, wasn't it? But we're still in our background notes because we have a couple of other doctrinal points. But one more background note. In verse 11, we read that they took fruit down to Egypt. Now, wait a minute, you say. I thought there was a famine in all the land. What's this fruit? Well, it's dried fruit. And the other items that they bring down to Egypt would have been from their preserves and sent as a present, because those items were not native to Egypt. The reason for taking double money back to Egypt was not only to buy grain, but pay back the money that had been returned in their sacks on the first trip. Look back at Genesis 42, verse 35. Then it happened, as they emptied their sacks, that surprisingly, each man's bundle of money was in his sack. Joseph had returned their money not only to test their honesty, but as an act of kindness, and also to ensure their coming back to Egypt. So if the 10 brothers had their money returned, and now they are taking double money back, it means that they are prepared to pay 20 bundles of silver into the Egyptian treasury. Now, isn't that interesting? They betrayed Joseph for 20 pieces of silver, Genesis 37, verse 28. And now they are about to pay out 20 bundles of silver. Hosea 8, verse 7 says that they who sow the wind will reap the whirlwind. A lot more we could say for background notes, but let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, God can use famine to bring about divine decrees. God can use famine to bring about divine decrees. From the human perspective, the seven-year famine was just an unfortunate natural disaster. Egypt and the Middle East had had famines before, and they would continue to have famines. This one just happened to be a little longer than average. But from the divine perspective, this natural event was ordained in the eternal counsels of God. And through this famine, divine decrees were being carried out. What divine decrees, you say? Well, for one thing, an aspect of the Abrahamic covenant was being partially fulfilled. God had said to Abraham back in Genesis 12 and verse 3, "In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Think of the blessing that Joseph was to a good portion of the earth's families at that time. That prophecy, of course, is ultimately fulfilled in Christ. And then think of the divine decree that the nation of Israel was to be formed in Egypt and then come out of Egypt in a great exodus. God used the famine to move Jacob and his family to Egypt. Do you see the doctrinal point? God can use famine and any other natural event to bring about divine decrees. Furthermore, the scriptures clearly indicate that God has decreed that sometime in the future, there will be a return of the nation of Israel. Not only a physical return to the land, which we see going on right now, but a spiritual return to the Lord. It is a divine decree. Read Romans 11 in this connection. Now, do you know how God is going to bring about that divine decree? It will be largely through a seven-year tribulation period, a time known as Jacob's trouble, probably pictured here. That seven-year tribulation period, which will include literal famine, will certainly bring Israel and the world to its knees. But the good news is that out of this great time of trouble will come a believing remnant of godly Jews, according to God's divine decree. God can use famine to bring about divine decrees. Doctrinal point number two, God can use famine to turn around human character. God can use famine to turn around human character. God can use any number of things to discipline his children. Here in Genesis 43, we see God using the famine to change the hearts of two of his children, Judah and Jacob. What a change we see here in the character of Judah. In Genesis 37, we read that Judah was the brother who came up with the idea to sell Joseph as a slave to Egypt. In Genesis 38, we read that Judah left home and married a Canaanite woman. Furthermore, he committed the sin of incest. Not a very pleasant story. But now look at Judah. He's now the responsible brother in the family. He cares for his father here and his brothers. And he's willing to put his life on the line for Benjamin. How did God bring about this change in Judah's character? Largely through the famine. God used the famine for discipline in Judah's life, and it worked. If it wasn't for the famine, maybe Judah would still have been going his own way. Now look at the character of Jacob. Back in Genesis 42, verse 36, Jacob said, "You have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And you want to take Benjamin away? All these things are against me." This does not sound like a man who is trusting the Lord, does it? And he says at the end of chapter 42, there in verse 38, "My son," that is, "my son Benjamin, shall not go down with you." But now look at his character in chapter 43 and verse 14. "And may God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release your brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved." Now there's a change of character for sure. Jacob is now trusting in El Shaddai, God Almighty, and not himself. Jacob has come to the place where he realizes that even if he loses Benjamin, it's God's will. No wonder Jacob is called Israel, his new name, throughout this chapter. Now, how did God bring about this change in Jacob's life? Largely through the famine. Jacob was brought to the end of his own rope by the famine. Jacob had to give up Benjamin and turn to God as his only hope. The only other option was for all of them to perish. God can use famine to turn around human character. God can use famine to turn around your character. Maybe you're a proud and self-sufficient person, and you think you don't need God. God may bring some kind of famine into your life until you turn in your need to the Lord, your only source of hope. Maybe you're here this morning as a proud and selfish Christian, and you need to be humbled. God may bring some kind of famine into your life to bring you down a notch. God can use famine to turn around human character. Let's take our practical application. Never say never. Never say never. At the end of chapter 42, Jacob said he would never let Benjamin go down to Egypt. Never! God changed his mind. Did you ever say never in reference to something where God had other ideas? You know, when I was attending seminary in beautiful New England, I thought I would never come to Chicago. Who wanted to come here anyway? Well, God had other ideas. You know, I remember a very thrifty non-Christian friend of mine who became a Christian. Just before he committed his life to the Lord, he learned that the Christian lifestyle involved giving your money to the Lord. And I remember he said to me, "Well, maybe I'll become a Christian, but there's no way I'm going to get into this giving 10% of my money to the Lord. No way." Well, God had other ideas. Today, he's more than tithing. Never say never. God may change your character so that you'll be doing things you never thought possible. God can do miracles. Never say never.